Hello, my name is Eun Jae Lee, and I'm from UI University, South Korea. And the title of today's talk is the Unioning of the Buffer Cache and General Layers with Non-Volatile Memory. Okay, so this is the outline of the today's talk. I first talk about the reliability issues in storage systems, and then I'll discuss how we can solve these problems with non-volatile memory technologies. And I will present our novel buffer cache architecture called UBJ, and then performance evaluation, and finally I'll conclude this talk. Okay, let's just start with an example when a hard working man got panicked. When he was working hard, his lovely cat came closer and tripped over the line, pulling the plug out of his socket. At that moment, his computer suddenly powered off, and he got the blue screen like this on the reboot. Why this happened? Because the sudden power failure may bring about the file system inconsistency in the traditional memory systems consisting of volatile RAM and non-volatile storage systems. For example, we updated the word east to west in main memory, and when a single character has been reflected to the file system, the system suddenly powered off. In this case, we might see unwanted situation such as inconsistent data or the entire file system corruption. This is because the data in main memory no longer remains, and while the data in storage are already corrupted. Then, how we can solve this problem? Traditionally, the data consistency was supported by the journaling techniques. Journaling writes the new data first in the journal area, and then successfully log data blocks are reflected to the file system checkpointing. This write twice behavior can provide consistency at any crashes. However, its frequent commit operation imposes some serious performance penalty by increasing the storage write largely. Regarding this issue, there might be someone who think like this: hey, the main memory becomes the non-volatile. Is the data consistency problem is no longer a problem because the data can survive from the system crashes. But is it so? Actually, this assumption is worthy of thinking because recently non-volatile memory technologies promised to replace DRAM and main memory. This prospect bases on some limitations of DRAM, such as like a scaling limit and its large power consumption and the ever-growing fast demand for the fast memory accesses is another motivation for that. So, actually, non-volatile memory technologies, especially PRAM and STT-MRAM, they are expected to be reserved aforementioned limitations of DRAM because they are very scalable and low-powered and optimistically provide higher performance than DRAM. So, moving back to the question, if the main memory is non-volatile, the data consistency problem can be resolved completely. Seemingly, yes, it is. Because even though the file system crashed during updated the file system, we can restore the consistency of file system by making use of remaining data in main memory on the reboot. However, the inconsistency problem still exists with the non-volatile memory. Let's assume that a data block W is evicted from the cache and to load another data block into the cache. And then the system crashes during overriding data in cache like this. In this case, the neither data in main memory and nor data in storage is consistent. So regardless of which data are used on the reboot, we cannot avoid inconsistent file system. So to summarize, the just dropping replacement of non-volatile memory does not suffice for guaranteeing the high reliability of file systems. So with this motivation, we try to find a way of providing the data consistency without sacrificing performance. So we designed a novel buffer cache architecture called EBJ, which is short for unioning buffer cache and journaling layers. Our EBJ subsumes functions of caching and journaling just by using data block for dual purposes. So this way can provide a journaling effect just by changing the status of cache block without any storage writes or redundant copies. Okay, so let's see how our EBJ works specifically. The data blocks are updated in main memory, same as existing buffer cache. However, our EBJ performs periodically commit operation, which has been performed by journaling in the traditional computer systems. Actually, the semantics of the commit operation is providing the durability and consistency of the updated data. In our architecture, the new data already exists in the non-volatile memory, so the commit operation just changes the status of cache block to be write protected. We call this in-place commit. And then the successfully committed data are managed in a transaction after them. And from the commit point, the data blocks in frozen state, which means write protected, they are simultaneously serve as the log blocks as well as cache block. And sometime later, we perform checkpointing, which updates the file system with new data. And then through checkpointing, all the data of a transaction are successfully reflected to the file system. We change the block to be writable again, so from which they can act like a normal cache block. Okay, so this example has shown how our EBJ works briefly, but there are many more details and constraints to use the cache block for dual purposes. But for example, the data blocks in frozen state should be protected from the replacement or being overwritten, but I cannot explain them in detail for now, so please refer to our papers or please come to my poster session in this evening. Okay. And next is about the cache performance. You might think our EBJ can degrade the cache performance as we provide journaling functions additionally. However, this slide shows it is not the case. The first figure shows the original buffer cache architecture running with the journaling file systems. And then second figure shows another possible architecture that unifies buffer cache and journal areas. This scheme just moves the journal area into the in-main memory and manages it separately from the buffer cache. This architecture also reduces the large storage writes, but it is a little inefficient because additional spaces and redundant data copy are needed. In contrast, our EBJ shares the spaces between buffer cache and journal area, and so we are very efficient in that we does not require additional spaces or redundant data copies. So as a result, this figure shows the cache miss ratio for the three different architectures, and our EBJ can provide nearly same cache performance as original buffer cache, while the buffer cache with separate managed journaling lowers cache performance significantly. Okay, so. And then let's see how we can restore the consistency from the system crashes. The possible system crashes can be categorized in three cases. First is the crash before commit, and second is the system crash during the commit, and lastly, the crash can occur after the commit. In the first case, the data in main memory has not been yet committed, so we simply discard them and just use the storage images. It remains consistent. And if the system crashes during the checkpointing, the data in storage might be corrupted, but we can get consistent and latest data in main memory, so we can restore the consistency by making use of the remaining data in main memory like this. And then lastly, if the system crashes during the commit, that means not all the data of a transaction are committed, so it means the remaining data in memory can be possibly corrupted. So we, in this case also, we do not reflect them to the storage. We just use the storage data instead. Okay. So to assess the effectiveness of our UBJ, we implemented a prototype of UBJ on Linux, and we emulated the number of time memory with DRAM because the available number of time memory technologies are very limited for now. So, and we compared with the X4 in general mode, which logs both data and metadata. This is to provide the same consistency semantics as our UBJ. And we used the three benchmarks. Okay, so the experimental result with provides shows that our UBJ performs better than EXT4 for all workloads. It's specifically, the execution time and throughput of our UBJ is better than EXT4 by 30.7% and 59.8% on average. And in case of IOZone, we UBJ improved the performance by 110% on average and up to by 240%. And in case of Postmark, we also UBJ provides 109% better throughput than EXT4 on average. And finally, let's see how our UBJ affects the performance as the commit period changes. This figure shows the latency per operation for farming workload in Firebench. And as you can see here, the latency of EXT4 becomes smaller as the commit period changes longer. This is because the storage writes becomes less frequent. However, this of course increases the window vulnerability of EXT4. However, the latency of UBJ is not sensitive to the commit period changes. This is because the commit overhead is very small in UBJ. So this result shows that we can reduce the window vulnerability without sacrificing the performance in UBJ. Okay, so this conclusion, I proposed the number buffer cache architecture for non-volatile memory, which is called UBJ. Our UBJ subsumes the functions of caching and journaling just by changing a status of a cache block with in-place commit operation. The in-place commit operation is just to freezes the cache blocks to write protected, so they can be used the log block simultaneously. And implementation of our UBJ on Linux shows that we can improve file I/O performance by a large margin without the performance degradation. Okay, thank you, and any questions?
Hi. I like your talk.
Thank you.
I'm Rick Spillane from Apple. I had a question about your configuration for your cache experiment. When you compared to the configuration where the journal was in RAM but partitioned from the buffer cache, It was implied in your talk, and it also seems implied in the paper, that you devoted half of the RAM to the journal.
Yes, the You mean the how I configured my experiment about the separate journaling scheme?
Right.
Yes, that results, that experiment results is just from the simulation, not the implementation. We implemented just the UBJ shared dusky spaces.
My question is based on the idea that the reason you're getting terrible cache performance in the example where the journal takes half of the RAM is because you've cut down significantly on the size of the buffer cache and the journal's not servicing cache hits. Mm-hmm. But isn't the journal in a file system typically something less than 100 megabytes, and RAM is typically much, much larger than that?
Yes, it can. It is also a good point, but our experiments is performed to show the performance of our UBJ in terms of space efficiency. So if we have manages the journal area separately, it's obvious to need additional spaces. So regardless of the memory spaces, small or larger, it gives an inefficiency in terms of space.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yu Lu from Tsinghua University, China. I have a question about the protection penalty of the buffer cache. If the data is updated in the buffer cache, it is locked and protected before the checkpoint. Mm-hmm. But if we update the same data before the checkpoint, is the buffer cache released for the new update, or it is protected for until the checkpoint finish?
Your question is about the reclaiming the data blocks after the checkpointing?
Overriding a block that's frozen.
When the commit operation started, our UBJ do not allow to be updated on the frozen frozen data blocks, and then after the commit, of course we can receive the right operation on them frozen data blocks. So we handle that operations in copy and write mechanism. So we protect the frozen data in not to overwritten by another.
Okay, is there any results for the performance penalty?
Yes, it should be, but the commit operations periodically performs just 5 seconds in, so it can give some kind of cache performance degradation, has some penalty, but it's not large as like some kind of storage rights or some kind of that.
Are there any results published in the paper?
Yes, no. No, not obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaker?